This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome back to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Max Cohen and Yanis Shaneas. This is our post-match show of Fulham's 2-1 loss to Manchester City at the Etihad. And we're going to be asking the question, if you're watching live, feel free to share your thoughts. Did Fulham get screwed at the Etihad? That's the title of the show. So we're going to talk about that in detail. We'll talk about other topics as well. There's a lot to get through, guys, in this match. It's not just about the De Bruyne situation. There's a lot of other situations to talk about, but we're going to focus on that. Guys, I told you I had a topic for you to begin the show. So we are going to focus on what happened with the very end of the match, but I'm going to ask you this, and I want you to be honest with me. Max, I'm going to give you first crack at this. So if we're going to talk about the De Bruyne situation, I want to bring up something that has happened with Fulham, okay? Max, did Mitro cheat against Aston Villa?
I don't know. I don't think you can compare them.
Why?
Because it's a big club bias, because the real question is...
I understand the big club bias. William, we're going to talk about William, that.
Why does William not get a penalty last week against Everton? That's the correct thing to compare it to. Those are very similar situations here.
Okay.
I just think
I'm just trying to be honest here.
I don't think so.
I don't think he did.
I don't think so, no.
You don't think that when Luis bumped him, he just went back flailing and...
That's a headbutt, Russ. I mean, Douglas Luis put himself in that situation with a headbutt.
Douglas Luis, that card got Anthony Robinson.
That was a mistake. That was a very bad decision, I think. Anthony Robinson didn't barely touch... If he even touched De Bruyne...
I totally agree with you.
He went down like he was shot. And that is totally different than I think happened, which is a head-to-head, collision. Different situation. It's a big club bias. It really is.
Okay, I'm not going to disagree with that, but I want to bring something that has happened to Fulham. You know, listen, the calls go with you and they go against you. This is one that went for Fulham, but if I got to be honest with you, I think Mitro cheated Villa. I'm just going to say it. Yanis, I'm going to go to you because I want to focus on De Bruyne, but I wanted to bring something back. Just so we're honest here, that we talk about things that happen with Fulham too. What are your thoughts?
If you dive, you're cheating.
Okay.
I think it's. Mind you, saying that it is Aston.
Okay, but I want to. I want to get your thoughts on Mitro first.
Those buggers. Useless club. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't think there's any time for it.
Okay, but I'm asking you specifically what happened with Fulham. Do you not want to talk about that?
Well, if he dives, okay, Mitro dives against Villa, then it's cheating.
Okay.
I mean, if it's not good enough for one, it's not good enough for another. I'm not going to condone it.
Okay.
I just think that in this day and age, 2022, yep, if there is diving,
yep,
and the referee has made a call and it's incorrect,
yep,
that is the whole point of VAR. And that's getting the right call.
Okay.
And that's where the De Bruyne thing and others will say, well, they had the chance to reverse it and they didn't.
Okay, let's get right to it, Max. I think Fulham were screwed. It sounds like you did as well. I've watched this back several times. I actually put up some pictures, some screenshots. And if Anthony Robinson touches him, and I don't even know if he actually even did. The one thing that I saw from the De Bruyne situation is that De Bruyne looks like he makes contact first, and then he does his pirouette dive, whatever you want to call it. It's cheating in my book. So in my book, Fulham got screwed here, Max. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so frustrating. It's disgraceful by the referees because they've been influenced by Pep, by De Bruyne, by the entire stadium at Man City. He gave into the call. He gave into it. And it's sad because it didn't look like he had any independence in that moment. You just knew he's going to point to the spot. And I think Giannis makes a good point. Where was the VAR check? It seemed like barely anything happened. No one even on the feed I was watching didn't even show a replay of VAR. It was just the kind of normal replay and boom, the penalty. It's sad. I think I've lost all respect for De Bruyne as a player. And same thing happened two seasons ago with Sterling when they got awarded a penalty.
Right.
It's a pattern. You know, that's the way the world works. That's the way the Premier League works. Big clubs and big moments get penalties.
I'm glad you brought up the Sterling one because that is exactly the same thing, Max.
The league wants a title race, you know, and it wouldn't have really fit into their narrative if Fulham, you know, had gotten a point here. Arsenal would have gotten ahead. It's a joke because, as you said, Russ, De Bruyne goes down like he was sniped. Yes. It's not even a natural position, the way he falls and the way he swings out his legs. And again, looking at each replay, we do have to say, to be fair, I think Robinson was rash because he gave the referee a chance to make a mistake. The referee made a mistake, a big one, but Robinson didn't need to give the ref a chance because he should have known that anything in the box, the City players are going to go down and flop and appeal, and they're going to swarm the referee like they did multiple times that match, including when Cancelo got sent off, which actually was a great call, and they tried to change the ref's mind. Robinson has to be smarter. And I think, honestly, that's what Marco Silva said. We've seen Marco Silva apoplectic at refereeing decisions in the past. He didn't seem angry. He was more kind of reserved, disappointed throughout.
Yep. No, very good there, Max. And I think Max might have stalled there. Giannis, I want to go to you. I want to get your thoughts on this because I see it as cheating. You talked about, you know, you're honest when it comes to Fulham. So that's how I wanted to start this off by talking about a situation that happened to Fulham with Mitro.
Yeah.
But this is Kevin De Bruyne. Max was going. It's hard not to think this way, to think that, the big clubs get these calls, the stars get the calls, but this is outright cheating. He knew what he was doing. He absolutely knew what he was doing here. This is cheating to me. Giannis, your thoughts?
Yeah, it is. But again, I'm going to say, if I thought the ref had a good game. If he's made a mistake, which he has, then that's why you have VAR, because every goal is checked. So his is done at the speed of the game. It's a split second decision. He makes the decision. He believes the decision to be correct. But VAR is the safety net to ensure that the right call is made.
Right. So I go back, that's the point of VAR. This that I don't understand because I don't think they went to VAR. And Max, I think Kevin De Bruyne pulled your feed because you were just taken off our feed. So I want to get your thoughts. Why do you think, again, I've seen no talk about this. I'm assuming that this did not go to VAR, that this is a decision by the referee himself. I haven't seen any talk that says that this went to VAR.
No.
It doesn't make sense. I think, I don't know. Looking back, there probably was contact. I think it was very light and not enough to go down. But I think there is contact. And I think VAR looks at that and says, we can't overturn a call with contact because they're limited in that sense.
But if the contact is perpetrated by De Bruyne, even if the contact continues with Anthony Robinson, isn't that with De Bruyne? Isn't he the one that should be responsible? Isn't he the one that should have been given a yellow card for simulation?
I agree. But I think Chris makes a good point in the chat. I think sometimes a VAR is scared to overturn a call like that.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the problem.
I'm going to share some comments from our friend Chris Goodwin. Kevin De Bruyne cheated, plain and simple. VAR should have intervened, and Kevin De Bruyne should have gotten booked. I completely agree with that. I don't know if I agree with this, Chris. Pep coaches his team to cheat. I don't know if I agree with that. I just think that, again, these are calls that Big Six teams get, that star players get. So that might be the case, but it irritates me watching this back that this happened, Max. And Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. What do you make of some of these comments from Chris Goodwin?
I think apart from his comment at the start about losing to the Jets, which I'll just overlook.
Okay. Well, I didn't share that, by the way. I didn't share
that. No, he's right. But I think I've said this before. We've got a number of sports, hockey for sure, rugby union and rugby league, cricket, where even tennis, where they go upstairs if there's a call that's marginal.
Right.
And they check. And it seems that the technology for those sports seems to work. And it's, you rarely, I mean, if you've ever, for the, you know, the viewers and listeners, if you've watched a rugby union international or rugby league, I mean, we've got Women's World Cup right now, Men's Rugby League World Cup and Women's right. World Cup. If there's a marginal call, the ref will go upstairs and there's usually two or three people in the booth. And then you can hear the transparency between the actual chat discussions between upstairs and the officials with explanations in deep, where the referees go to the captain or the captains explain, this is the call that they've seen upstairs. This is the ruling. And in no sports, you right. rarely, if ever, get dissension because they right. make the right call. In this particular instance, I don't know if VAR was checked. They're supposed to check every goal. If they've done that, I don't believe this is a goal. And back to the comment about Pep coaching cheats. If Pep coaches cheats, then every coach is responsible. There isn't a coach in the land that will ever say, well, don't sort of admonish challenges right. if you know where you are in the box or just out of the box. There isn't one. There's never been one at that level.
Okay.
De Bruyne's been around for long enough. He felt the pressure. Max has got it right because the challenge from Robinson was a little rash. All he needed to do was hold him up. He didn't, but that's fine. He's had a super season, but you still have to get the call right. And that's
right. That's all. That's what we've been talking about. This is not getting the call right, Giannis. Anyone that has watched this back, it's funny because I was listening to BBC 606. What was interesting is that there was a Man City caller, and he actually backed up what we're talking about. He said, you know what? Kevin De Bruyne, he dived. He basically said, I'm paraphrasing exactly what he said, but he was honest. And that's, I really appreciate the fact that a Man City supporter said that. I wasn't expecting it, but football supporters see this. And what drives me crazy, Max, is that we don't need this in the game. I want to get this completely out of the game. And it continues. And if we let these situations continue, then players are going to continue to do it. I think of Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling. These are great players. I'll put Mitro in there too. They don't need to do this stuff. They absolutely don't. They don't need to do it. They're great players without it. They don't need to be doing it. Kevin De Bruyne is one of my favorite players. I was so disappointed that he did this, Max.
Yeah, but I think there's a through line of the things you mentioned, right? De Bruyne, Sterling, Kane.
Yep.
Players in big clubs, you know, maybe we'll call Spurs a big
club. Okay, so we're going to go back to the big six situation.
Willian got fouled in a very similar situation last week against Everton. People are saying this online.
Yep.
A trip. Not a lot in it, but contact.
I didn't think there was a lot in it, to be honest with you.
The big team gets that call. De Bruyne gets the minimal contact call, and Willian doesn't because he plays for Fulham. That's what's so frustrating. It's not just that, you know, the refs are giving out cheap penalties. They're mainly giving out cheap penalties to big players on big clubs.
Okay. So let me ask you this, and Giannis, I'm going to go back to you. How much is this the human element? The ref, it's at the Etihad. It's a controversial situation right in front of him. And if he doesn't make the call, what happens? What happens to him? Does he get influenced by the crowd at the Etihad? Or I'm thinking, if he's concerned about it, let it go to VAR. Let it go to VAR. Let them take a look at it. But do you think it's possible that some of these refs are influenced by the home crowd and maybe being a big six club, as Max is saying?
Well, if it is, it's incompetence and it's corrupt. I'm sorry. I spent, 27 years coaching, and I had enough. As I got later on coaching, I stopped arguing with refs. It wasn't the way it was at the start. but towards the end it was. They have a difficult job.
They do.
But they have. But the Premier League has the tools at their disposal to get the right call. And again, it's you know, I watched an incredible game of rugby Friday night. It was actually the World Cup, Rugby World Cup women's semi between England and Canada. It was both semis were fantastic. The England-Canada was one for the ages. The thing that got me, there were a couple of marginal calls in that one where the referee, who was Scottish, wasn't sure and went upstairs. And both of them ended up being reversed, one for England, one for Canada. And again, it's not because it's the women. There's no argument. They know that the right call has been reached. And that's what you expect at the highest level. And you expect the adherence and consistency. Now, if I was to be a cynic, I could say, well, when Fulham become a top six club, we'll get calls like that.
Right.
And in many ways, I almost think, you know,
it's like the NBA. I keep going back to the NBA. It's the NBA. It's like I watch Jason Tatum now getting these types of calls that he would not get a couple of years ago because he's a star player. It's the Michael Jordan rule, basically.
Yeah,
that's what this is.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But in the Premier League. And it's irritating, as Max is saying, that it seems like it really is a big six situation. It could also be a star situation too, Max. Because the star players get these calls in all sports. And De Bruyne is a star. And I'm just saying it could be a double whammy here, Max. It could be who he is and also the fact that he plays for Man City.
Yeah. I mean, it was just sickening to see because we were comfortable up until that point.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. And
it kind of came out of not nowhere, but Leno wasn't making save after save in stoppage time. It wasn't like we were just barely hanging on. We gave them a gift, and they created it. And the announcer said it himself. He said, De Bruyne won that penalty.
He won the penalty. See, that's the point. He won the penalty. You don't win a penalty. You shouldn't be able to win a penalty, guys. You should be rewarded a penalty, not 1-1. That's the issue I have, Giannis. I'm glad that Max put that out. He won a penalty. That's trying to create something, Giannis. That's what bothers me.
But you know what? I think we all love Marco and his coaching staff and what he's done.
Right.
This morning when he got up and he looks back at the game tape and he looks at the flow of the game and the changes, we were getting stuffed until the yellow red. I know that deep down he's going to look at that and go, you know what, we didn't do enough. We just didn't.
And you're probably right.
Enough. We just,
you are probably right. In
we
fact,
hanging
I know
around.
You're right.
We did. Yes. So second, because I have to, when Pereira scores the goal,
right,
I'm thinking, okay, hold it till halftime, have a chat with the lads, and then just come out. Just come out the buggers, because a couple of their players are, I mean, Grealish was having an absolute mare. Defensively looked Aki.
Well, I want to talk about that coming up, Giannis, because
they weren't looking good. And I thought the second half we go, and we didn't. And then you look at the bench, and that's another thing. The Khans weren't there yesterday, but I hope they watch the tape. Because when you look at what we did, looked at our bench, Marco's looking and he's going, okay, who have I got on the bench? And then all of a sudden you look and Pep's got, he's going, okay, we'll get Foden. Haaland's not even, he's not even fit. He's not even fit.
I know, it's a joke, but they can bring off the bench,
right.
I know.
But this is for the listeners and watchers, just to think about this. And I'm not being jokey here.
Okay.
What would happen if we had Robinson, Ream, Diop, Tete, Pereira, Palhinha, and Willian on the bench, not as starters.
Right.
We've lauded them all season for their great work.
Right.
But what would happen if for a second...
If we had upgrades everywhere, basically.
And now Marco's looking at the bench and going, And that's it.
No, it's a fair point. Yeah,
that's it.
Listen,
and the Khans have to look at this now and go, right. The next try, if you really want to get better, the players that have done so well now,
right,
in a top team, if you want to get there, have to be the players that are on the bench.
That's an interesting way to look at that.
And Foden's a world-class player, but Foden's on the bench.
I know it's crazy that bench. I know. And they can do whatever really they want to do. And we'll talk about Man City. The one thing that I will say, guys, before we talk about the subject matter that Giannis was bringing up, because I want to talk about the intent and my thoughts about that, is just to wrap this up. So I'm going to ask you both this question. We're talking about where Fulham screwed. So I'm going to ask both of you this. First to you, Max. Did Fulham deserve a point?
Yes, 100%. 100% the point.
Okay. Giannis, did Fulham deserve a point?
Yeah, I think we did deserve a point. But the problem you got away from home at a club, a team like that, in front of 52,000 fans, is the longer it's level, even with the adversity of having 10 men, something can go south.
And that's
you
what
always get that feeling that something's going to rise. Almost you're looking for it. And bugger if it didn't happen. Yes, we deserve the point. Absolutely. And you know, 2-1 we've lost to Arsenal, 2-1 we've lost to Spurs, 2-1 we've lost to City. We've not disgraced ourselves.
Not at all.
We're in a good shift. This was one of those games where in the debrief tomorrow, Marco gets him in and says, okay, this has to be about growth mindset, not deficit mindset. We talk about this in schools, deficit mindset. Right. Growth mindset. It's not, okay, it's 1-1 versus 10. It doesn't matter if we got 10 Pelés. We now should go for the 3. We've gotten by the throat, and we didn't. And I hope we learn, because Newcastle, when they came to the cottage, when that, what's his name? Chalaba got sent off.
Yep.
They went for us. They killed us. They absolutely murdered us. And that's what we have to adopt.
I agree with that, Giannis. And we're going to talk about that right now. The Fulham lack intent, and I think it's pretty obvious that they probably did. But I'm going to caveat this topic with this, guys, because I've seen so many comments saying that Fulham were not brave enough. You've already mentioned this. They lacked the intent. And why was that, Giannis? So I'm going to ask you guys this question. How much did Fulham miss Mitro, BDR, and Cabano? How much did that affect this match and affect the ability to Fulham to go with that intent that you're talking about, Giannis? You didn't have these players. Yeah. You had Vinicius up front. You didn't have the player who was going to bring other players into it, hold the ball up with like Mitro. I think if Mitro plays, you get the intent. I think if BDR plays with Mitro along with Cabano, I think you'd certainly get the intent you were looking for. I don't know if we had the players on the pitch at the time to do what Marco truly wanted them to do. I actually, when I watched it back, guys, I saw what they were trying to do. They really didn't change their strategy, so I understand the frustration of the supporters. They were still trying to beat them on the break, and they would be that pass would be just a little bit off, and it would be intercepted by a Man City player. They were trying. They were trying to go quick, but they were not doing what you said, Giannis. They were not trying to dominate the ball. So I'm asking you, if these three players are involved, do you think it's a little bit different?
This is a great question. We had Willian and Wilson playing out wide, so that's your BDR and Cabano with Kenny.
So say we put BDR and Cabano into the mix.
I'm going to say no, because I thought Willian played well, and Wilson, I was really unhappy with his performance against Everton when he came off the bench last week. I was really vocal, but I thought he played well yesterday, and he did get us that penalty. He did earn us that penalty. And I thought for someone who's there was a dramatic improvement. Now, Mitro, on the other hand, and I'm not going to take anything away from Vinicius.
Okay.
Vinicius is not a Mitro, but I thought Vinicius worked really hard yesterday.
I thought he did too, Giannis. I'm glad that you said that, because he is getting some stuff, you know?
Yes, he is.
Because he's not Mitro.
And he's a bit of a Diego Costa. He's a bit of a poo stirrer. You know, you could see that yesterday. He was giving him some. He was being physical up there. He doesn't have the first touch, and he certainly doesn't have the range to drop 20 to 30 to knock a ball wide. But I thought he did a good job. But we missed Mitro, because the problem is when you've got Mitro out there, you change the focus of attack. You change. If I'm a Pep and I look at where Mitro's development, I'm thinking, oh, mother. You know, he's not this typical number nine tank. This guy can do other things now, and he's fitter and leaner. And he was a big loss. And again, that was a decision made about his ankle, and because United are next week, right. And we saw that United are looking pooey.
Right.
But yeah, Mitro was a huge loss. But the other two, I thought would be a little bit of a slight against Willian and Wilson, because I thought they had good games. Okay. Much as I love Cabana's a massive loss. Don't get me wrong. And BDR,
but do you think that might have changed the intent that we did not see from Fulham? Do you think if Mitro's out there,
yes,
and then I'll go to Max?
Oh God, yeah. Oh God, okay. Yeah. The way he's been playing, yeah, for sure.
Because wouldn't that affect how Man City played this match too?
Big time.
Okay.
Big time. Mitro's playing that well.
Right.
He's playing it with Knox.
Right.
So he's just a...
Yeah. Right. I'm not trying to give the club a free pass here by saying they definitely should have played with more intent. I agree with the supporters that are saying that, but I'm also saying that they were hamstrung here, Max, especially that they did not have Mitro. I want to get your thoughts on it. I think it's obvious that they did not have enough intent. We could argue why, but I also think that there's a factor here, and the major factor is Mitro and the other two players.
Yeah, I mean, there's no game plan to attack, because the entire week Marco would have been focusing on off the ball.
See, this is where I'm going. This is why I think there wasn't much intent. Their game plan was to do what they did, and I think to change the switch, to switch the game plan was going to be difficult with these players without Mitro.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, you have to point fingers perhaps at the management of Mitro. Marco Silva made the gamble that the Man City away match was a match where we were not going to get points. And to play Mitro would have been a risk. And he said, okay, I'm not going to take that risk. If this is, let's say it's Everton at home again, right? If this game is a different week, Mitro plays in a game which Marco Silva thinks is winnable. Because none of us here, let's be honest, thought this game was even remotely a chance to get even 1 point, let alone three. But then we're thrust into the situation when we're a man up, and Giannis said, we need to show intent. And that player's not there, not even on the bench. I think that's a mistake. I think put him on the bench at least, you know, because there was nothing. You know, Vinicius is not the player Mitro is. The wingers, although they're not, I wouldn't call them poor.
Right.
You know, I think Cabana's a miss, BDR perhaps a miss too. But we just didn't have that mentality. And it was honestly a bit embarrassing, even though it's Man City, even though it's away from home.
No, I know.
The team with one more person shouldn't be hanging on for dear life. And at times it felt like we had that mentality that we didn't know we were level. We didn't know we had a man up. We just saw Manchester City at the Etihad.
Okay, so maybe this goes back to Marco and the coaching staff. As you said, Giannis, at halftime, get to half, like you said, why not change things up and go for it, like you said? See, this is, I agree with you here, because I understand getting to halftime, you have this game plan that, as very well put, that Max was saying, you've probably been working on this all week, and then you're asking the players just like that to change it up. And obviously, I don't think they were prepared for that. I think it's difficult to prepare for a situation where Man City's going down to 10 men and thinking, what do we do now? You should always be prepared for different things to happen. But I think the game plan, Giannis, was to do what they did. And now you're going to switch it up. Maybe they should have thought about that at halftime and said, how can we change the momentum here? How can we get the ball? Instead of really sticking with, like what you said, what they were doing beforehand.
And you know what, Ross? I'm going to get absolutely murdered for this next
question. No, look, don't worry about it. I'm going to get it from the beginning of the show, too.
The bullets are going to come flying. But I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
Something that Scott Parker used to say.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
But hear me out.
Okay.
He used to talk about...
we're not talking fine margins, are we?
No, but he used to talk about players being brave.
Oh, okay.
And you've got to be brave. And that is where I think we needed not individual players, but collectively. Because remember, they do the job beyond the white lines. The coach does so much. Remember, he's got his bench and what you've got. Players on the pitch have to be brave.
Okay.
Collectively, they have to be brave. And what that looked like yesterday was a little bit more intent in terms of attacking. And that is a Scott Parker-ism that did come true. Because I think you look at Newcastle, again, when they played us at the Cottage.
Right.
Maybe not so similar, but they went for the jugular when we went down to 10.
They did.
And I would rather, honestly, have lost 4-1 yesterday if we went for it, knowing that it was a game where we weren't expected to get anything out of it, where we created something out of nothing.
Okay.
Then sit and sort of ponder, and play chess and then get burned.
Okay.
Like that. Because that's the frustration. And I'm not going to blame Marco. Because
okay.
You've got a captain out there. You've got a vice captain out there. You have 11 professionals. You are a man up. Something has to give. I mean, maybe that was one of the things about bringing Tom Kearney on, that you're bringing
right.
the club captain on.
Right.
But it didn't. It just didn't seem to click. And again, we're not deep.
No.
Dan James comes running on. And I actually called it before. I said, if you put him up front just to run around like a headless chicken, he might get a mistake out of them.
Right.
But look, we had to. Harris came on. He ran about. But we just, our bench is not deep. We're not.
I agree, Giannis. I'm not going to disagree with you there. But Max, I want to get your thoughts. He's putting it a little bit on the players. And I'm sorry, Giannis. I think that's where you're going.
He's putting
it on the players out there to be more brave, as something that Scott Parker would say a great deal. And that they kind of just stuck with what they were doing, the game plan. It didn't seem to change. In fact, the two best opportunities Fulham had, Max, were with Wilson. And they looked almost identical. One in the first half, one in the second half. The second half, he just shot it really wide. But it was really a similar situation. It looks like they kept trying to do that. So did they really change things up? I don't think they did. I think they continued on the path from the beginning of the match as they were feeling as Man City playing with 11. I don't think they changed much when they went down to 10 men. I could be wrong, but it didn't seem like they really adjusted. I'm talking about Fulham. Man City adjusted, Fulham did not.
Well, what Silva actually said in the post-match interview was interesting. He kind of said,
what did he say?
Man City just shifted to three at the back and stayed their same attacking.
Exactly.
Which is funny, but it actually comes to mind, because it says Fulham, they didn't see Fulham as a threat. Normally when you go down to 10, you shift more numbers back and maybe take off a striker, take off a winger.
Yeah.
Man City said, we're going to keep our same attack and put three at the back,
knowing
Fulham wouldn't show that intent, betting on it, which is correct.
But yeah, they were
right. It was kind of genius by Pep, because it didn't allow us to do what we thought we would do, which is normally when you're up to 10, you're up a man, you control possession, you push the team back. City did that to us.
Yeah.
Which was humbling, but that's how football works when you have a team. I think the best team I've ever seen assembled ever. I think that's
an incredible team. Let's be honest here.
The bench and the starting 11 and the wealth at their disposal, it is remarkable. So if there's ever a team who would humble you and embarrass you when they have a man fewer, it's going to be City.
Okay. Giannis, I hope you don't take offense to what I'm about to say, but with the darkness coming in, you kind of look a little bit like Alfred Hitchcock back there. So, but actually, that in the nicest way. I mean,
hey, you know what? Something was just said, actually, is going to be marinating, because if that is the case and Pep did that, then that means Marco has to do better.
Yeah.
And I will defend him in the sense that he didn't have the horses, but if
Pep, okay.
based that rest of that game plan on the fact that Cancelo was off, but that they didn't fear what Fulham could bring, because he was able to think about the way Marco would coach for the remainder of the game, then Marco's approach has to change. So it's a growth point for him. That I'd say well played for well played with Pep. But it's one I think that if the more he thinks about it, the more he'll go, oh crap, we really should have done a little bit more. I mean, and we battled so hard, but again,
that's the frustrating part here.
Yeah, I think
look at this and not say that the players didn't give everything that they could. The only thing I can say is that they stuck with the game plan that they had, and they were just going to play it the way that they probably were going through during the week. They really didn't change it. They just stuck with it. And it didn't really offer too much. Like I said, you have really two opportunities. As we said, they're both from Wilson, really. There are a couple of other opportunities that they tried, but it wasn't enough. And part of that, and let's give credit to Man City, because Man City are Man City, as Max said. I think they're the best team in the world right now. And the fact that it took them in stoppage time to get a penalty that I think is cheating to beat Fulham, I think there's a reason to be proud of that. As I said after the match, I'm proud of this team because they took who I think is the best team in the world all the way to the brink, and they had to win it with what I think an extremely questionable, and I'll say cheating moment to beat Fulham. That to me says something about the team that we're watching, guys, is that they've come that far. You said it, Giannis. Arsenal, Tottenham, now with Man City. We've gone toe-to-toe with these teams, and they're beating us by a single goal. They're barely beating us. They're beating us, but we're hanging with them. That's progress. So I understand about being disappointed about the lack of intent. I agree with all that, but I'm still proud of this side. I'm just going to leave it there. Guys, let's move on. Let's now talk about what you felt like when you saw the starting 11. Giannis, I'll give you first crack at this. I know when I looked at it and I said, oh, no, Mitro. That's the first thing that I said.
Yeah, that was the main talking point. And my first thought was, okay, we've got our friends from Old Trafford next week. They have a midweek game against Villa in the Carabao Boo Cup. So he's, you know, Mitro's not ready. BDR is obviously suspended.
Yeah.
William stays in. So do you bring Dan James in, or do you bring our friend Harry back in? And Harry came back in, and it was a good decision. The other big decision, the talking point actually, was the centre-back pairing. And I'm hoping yesterday buried any sort of doubts in terms of the suitability of Issa Diop playing at the back, because I thought he had an excellent game yesterday. I thought commanding. I think he looks a lot more comfortable with Tim Ream. Tim, they really didn't put a foot wrong yesterday. Leno, you know, the goal, the Alvarez goal, right. I think he'd want back. He got a hand to the penalty from Hall. And
they were targeting Tim Ream, though.
He held his own. The back five on the whole held their own, and I thought Diop had an excellent game. But, I mean, Mitro is a big loss. But Vinicius is, I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, you know that Vinicius is going to go out and work hard. He may not score. Well, that's fine. But
you this, Giannis. Do you think Marco was considering the Man United game for Mitro? Do you think that's a factor in all of this? Rest him this week?
100%.
Okay.
Because I watched the Villa game today. And I'm sorry, Villa are an extremely ordinary, we know that, ordinary side.
Absolutely.
Manu, ever since the Ronaldo nonsense kicked off, Ronaldo has started the last four games. He's played 90 minutes in all four games.
Right.
And today he was given the captaincy. He looks a shadow of himself. They didn't have Fernandes because he was suspended. But they looked so ordinary. And the goal that they scored was a sure 25-yarder that took a wicked deflection. So there was an element of luck. And Villa, I'm sorry. Nah. So they're struggling. They're in a difficult spot. So he's thought, okay, we'll rest him a week.
Yep.
Let's get him ready for United at the Cottage, of course. Going to be a full house. I thought that was a good decision. I'd still stand by that. Yeah.
Okay. Max, do you agree with Giannis? Do you think that Marco was looking a week ahead to Man United? That's the reason why we didn't see Mitro. It was more to protect him and get him ready for Man United.
Yeah, but also, you know, let's think about Mitro. He has a World Cup coming up. I'd say for Alexander Mitrovic, playing in the World Cup for Serbia, it eclipses anything he'll do for Fulham. I just think that's how he views his country. I mean, he's one of the, if not the leading goal scorer, up on the charts. He's a legend in Serbia. Who's to say that Mitro isn't going in there and saying, hey, boss, I'm not up to it. I don't want to risk it.
Okay.
Actually interesting. No, you've raised a great point, Max, because there was something that came up on Twitter last night. I don't know the validity of the source.
Okay.
But stated that Mitro is actually back in Serbia right now.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and Colm's just actually posted it on the bottom here. He's just posted it. Yes, and I read the same thing as you did, Colm. Now, I don't know if that is true, whether he's maybe shut it down. And he's whether he won't play, or maybe he's gone back to Belgrade and he's got some extra help with his ankle. They all have their private insurance and what have you. It's a possibility. I hope not, But Max's point to what, you know, Serbia being the priority, absolutely. And it'd be a shame. But then how many players would you put in that spot right now that are will be playing scared?
Well, that's what I was gonna get there. In this final match, not just for Fulham, but in the Premier League and around the world, how many players could we see this week that are either playing scared or might not tempt if they're dealing with something and say, you know what, I don't feel that I should play this week because I'm not 100%. And part of that could be because of the World Cup.
And in which case, we've made a big mistake because we should have a combination of Italian and Norwegian players. Because Haaland, after next week, is going to be on a beach.
Right.
And every Italian on the planet players will be on the beach. So if we'd had half Italian, half Norwegians now, we'd be laughing. Yeah, absolutely. But we don't. But jokes aside, I think it's a very serious point. Look at the players that are not going to be playing. I mean, Pogba's out.
Right.
Chilwell is probably going to be out. Loftus-Cheek will be planted on Jupiter sometime soon with a bit of luck. But there are players with injuries, and this is
right.
Alphonso Davies of Canada went off limping with a hammy yesterday for Bayern Munich. There's a lot of nervous. Can you imagine? You know that you're going to be on plane.
The plane, yeah.
And then the last game before, you're away to some schlup team, and then you get injured. And it could be the last chance.
You're playing Bournemouth. I hate that.
Yeah,
I don't know why I thought of that. You're playing Bournemouth or you're playing Nottingham Forest or something like that.
Oh, just.
And you get injured.
With Saturn right now. Do it now.
No, listen, I think that it's just something to think about when we watch this final match for Fulham and other matches leading up to the World Cup. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the players react to it. So I just thought I would bring that up. Okay,
it's
guys.
Nervy, right? It's nervy because a lot of these players' contracts are linked to bonuses and the possibility of playing in the World Cup. So there's going to be, I mean, I'd be curious when we play Man U.
Yep.
And the Premier League wide, how many players that would normally play may be held up because this is, of course, the first World Cup that's done in mid-season.
Right.
How many will? It's going to be interesting to see.
Okay, very good. Okay, coming up next, we're going to break down this match and we're going to end with man of the match. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. Okay, Max. I'll go to you first, and we'll go through the key moments. But just overall, obviously, there are key moments that are going to dictate probably how you feel about the first half. But just analyze what you watched in the first half, and then we'll talk about these moments in the first half. Oh, looks like we lost Max once again. Hopefully,
you got him.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know if Kevin De Bruyne keeps pulling the plug there.
No kidding.
I don't know what's going on. So give me your thoughts on the first half.
I thought it was very entertaining, actually. City came out and did what they do best. We didn't seem to be able to get a... There he is. It's Mad Max is back.
The Wi-Fi's dodgy. I don't know what's going on. It must be De Bruyne. Or it's Pep.
I'm going to blame it on De Bruyne.
Yeah, I've always had a thing about the Belgians. No, they came out. We couldn't seem to get a touch. The Alvarez goal was well struck. But again, Diop's Diop. Leno's gone down too early. We've just hung around. And then it was Pereira. It was a brilliant ball that set up the challenge on Wilson. And you know, you're thinking, we don't have Mitro as our penalty taker. Who cares? Didn't matter. Pereira slots at home. Oh. And it was a very, very good first half. And it was cat and mouse. Remember, look, City just beat teams up for fun. That's what they do. And we held our own. I thought our shape was pretty good.
Yep.
And it was entertaining, and I was pleased we went in at halftime and 1-1. I thought, wow, we might get something out of this.
Exactly, Giannis. Over to you, Max. Now that you're back, and Kevin De Bruyne is leaving.
Hey, Max is back.
So let's talk about Man City's goal, and Giannis just talked a little bit about it. So let's focus on that. And I thought that Alvarez was targeting Tim Ream. It didn't take much. He had just a little space. Tim Ream was basically closing him down just a little too late. And but what are your thoughts about Leno here? Do you think, along with Giannis, that he did not play this the right way here?
Yeah, I mean, he anticipated the ball going one way, and it went right down the middle of the goal. It was hit well, but as a keeper,
you should have done better. As well, you have to
react. I mean, I don't know how often we see this with goalkeepers, but I was shocked that Leno did that. Honestly,
okay,
he's a quality keeper, and he gambled and he looked quite silly because it went right down the center of the goal and hit off the bar. But if he doesn't die, that's a pretty simple save.
Okay, all right, very good. Okay, Giannis, back to you. Let's talk about Fulham's goal. But before we do that, I want to get your thoughts on the challenge from Cancelo. And what do you think he was thinking here? Because this was like something that I was watching today in the NFL.
Stupid. It was a stupid challenge. And you know what? This is why I'm not as, I'm not as rambunctious on Pep. Pep, when Cancelo came off, Cancelo's having a moan and Pep's going, "What are you doing? What are you doing? You're just like, you in the wrong position, wrong time. You didn't do the right thing. It's a stupid challenge. It's reckless." And he's got a red. He's got a red. I mean, it was a good refereeing call. And Cancelo can have absolutely no complaints. It'll piss me off if I find out that they've appealed and it's removed.
Okay.
But it's reckless and it was a penalty.
Absolutely. And Max, without Mitro, does it matter? Because I'm a big fan of Pereira here, okay? I think Pereira is not getting enough talk here. Not here amongst Fulham supporters, but just internationally. I think Pereira's playing fairly well this season. And he just came up here and just slotted it home. It looked very easy. He did a great job here to score the goal.
And and it wasn't easy. That's a big pressure environment against Ederson, a good goalkeeper.
Huge
away
pressure.
At City. Yep. Great pen sent him the wrong way. And, you know, as the commentator remarked, he doesn't get to take many for Fulham. Considering Mitro is very much number one. Just a really great shot. And let's also give credit to Vinicius in the build-up, though. He did play.
I'm glad that you're Harry saying
through.
That.
Yep. I don't think he had played a very good game, but we have to acknowledge in the goal-scoring play, Vinicius set up that penalty.
Okay. All right.
And by the way, I was going to say, to look ahead, 6-7, because we play on next Sunday.
Yep.
Nobody on that pitch will be more motivated in that game than Pereira.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to be feasting off raw meat for the week. He's going to be so fired up. And I think he's been really, a really pleasant addition this year. He's done, I think, played really well. And he's going to be so freaking fired up for that game.
I totally agree.
I hope they start Scott McTominay. Just for fun, just so Pereira can spit him out of the sandwich. It's going to be fun to watch him because he's going to be so fired up at the Cottage against a team that basically discarded him, basically didn't give him a chance, and he's going to. I can't wait to see this. This is going to be good old karma coming down the pipeline.
Okay, excellent stuff. All right, Max, back to you. Let's just finish up talking about the first half with, as we're talking about the approach of Fulham. So they score the goal. And they're down to 10 men. What did you see after this from Fulham? Is it similar to what we've been talking about, that they basically just kept doing what they were doing as feeling that Man City were with 11 as they are now with 10?
They were just kind of shocked. I think they couldn't quite believe they're in the situation. And City ended that half with chance after chance after chance.
Yeah.
Leno, we do have to give him credit.
Yep.
Great save. I think it was from Akanji off the header.
Yep.
Ake had a number of headers too. Saves, shot after shot after shot. City ended that first half. And if you asked anyone who was a neutral who just turned it on, who's down to 10, they would have said Fulham. I think that was probably one of the situations when we were most retreating on our own half and just kind of, as Giannis said earlier, just get to the half and hope to regroup.
To the half. Okay. Very good. All right. Guys, let's switch to the second half. And Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on what we've been talking about, because as I'm watching this, I'm thinking nothing looks really different. They obviously made substitutions, and when you have the substitutions that Man City have, and then you see Fulham substitution, nothing against bringing in Tom Kearney, even bringing on Luke Harris, it's great. But when you bring on Haaland and Foden, you're kind of screwed a little bit if you're Fulham. But what are your thoughts about what Fulham decided to do in the second half?
I think the conditions played a part. You're going to bring Kearney on because of his experience. That was a good call. Dan James has not won me over. He just looked, I don't know. I mean, he runs around well, but doesn't really do a lot of anything.
Right.
Harris was a very brave call, but I think if you're going to give him experience, do it now. Let me think. Who were the other subs?
Mbabu came on.
Well, Mbabu actually did. I thought he actually did okay. I started swearing at the TV. My wife can testify to this. And it was, you know, I wasn't saying Mbabu. I was saying.
Oh, by the way, happy anniversary.
Oh yeah, 28. Yeah. God. Max, I'll give you advice on that. Mbabu, do you remember the Seinfeld character Babu Butt?
Yes. Babu, yeah.
Babu.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, it might as well have Babu out there, because I thought, oh, this is going to be a disaster. But to be fair, I actually thought he played okay.
Okay.
But again, you've just nailed it. Our strength and depth is a problem. And I might have actually done something a little differently. I want to see Duffy get a little bit more time. I really do. I think Shane Duffy in the air is very, very good. I think, you know, at the moment it looks like a little bit of a wasted loan, and I think he adds value. And interestingly enough, Tosin didn't come off the bench.
No.
Which, now you could then say, well, where would you put him? Well, are you telling me he can't play a right back? I think he probably could. So okay. I'm not sure. That maybe he's in the doghouse of Mr. Silva. But just nonetheless, our bench just isn't good enough. And, you know, it's something that we're going to have to address in the January window, although it's going to be more prohibitive because you know what the cost of players are like in mid-season.
Very good. Okay. Max, as I looked at the second half, and I just felt it was similar to the first half, like I've already mentioned, there was that opportunity from Harry Wilson. But as we're getting into the second half and they bring on Haaland, I'm thinking it's only going to end up in the back of the net. It actually did. But this was the right call, because this is why they have VAR. Was it close? Yes. But it was actually, I believe it was his leg, if I remember correctly. It wasn't the arm. It was actually, I want to say, his knee or a leg here. So it was legitimate. This wasn't like fine margins. This was legitimate, but it was close. So they really got out of jail free card on that one. Then, of course, we have the end of the match. But just give me your overall thoughts on what was going through your mind leading up to the very end, where we have, I think, Fulham being cheated out of a point.
Yeah, I think, you know, as soon as you bring on someone like Haaland and someone like Foden off the bench,
we had to
kind of give up on the sense that, oh, we're still up a man, you know, we still have to attack. And now it's like, okay, let's protect what we have. Two of the best attackers in the league are on the pitch now. And you could see the Fulham players kind of internalize that and start to drop back. But there were some moments when we had some counterattacks, you know, and Bob was involved, Dan James involved, Kearney, Tete. There were some nice little passes. No shots from it, of course, but...
Right, but they were starting to move it. I'm glad that you're bringing this up.
And it was that kind of weird, you know, juxtaposition of, as the match went on, the game got stretched. And just the City kind of poured forward. We also had some of the best attacking passes.
Yeah, we had the whole match.
Yeah. Came right before the goal. And I just remember the commentator, Curse, he said, Leno, it was two kind of goal kicks, and Leno was wasting time. And he said, Fulham looked pretty comfortable here. And things like that, you just always remember. And I was actually just, and I think I have to take some blame too. I was just about to text my Arsenal supporter friends. I was going to say,
we're helping you, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're welcome. And then, of course, we already talked about what happened after that.
Okay, so let's end talking about this. We've already talked about our feelings on this being, you know, again, is it cheating? It's, you know, we're Fulham screwed. We already talked about that. But Giannis, talk to me what you said to yourself or what you said to your lovely wife when this actually went down.
I initially I thought it was a penalty.
Okay.
Just from the and what was interesting that Robinson's reaction was like, oh God, did I just do that? And I thought, oh, and I wasn't prepared to have a go him because I thought he had a good game and he's had a great season. So no, I think he's been super, super. So
yeah.
And then it wasn't until later on that you realize what's happened. But I thought there was an air from the 70th minute on. I thought there was an air of inevitability about the outcome. Something was going to happen. And actually, okay. Chris has just put something down here. I love this. Should Fulham send Dan James back to Leeds? I'll answer that. Yes. He doesn't give us any value right now. I'm not seeing it. I don't see what value he brings at the moment. And he's asked me if Madison should go to the World Cup. Chris, yes. James Madison is mint right okay. now. Mint. But no, it was so what do they say about inevitability? Life, death, taxes.
Yeah.
20 minutes to go against City up there, against 10 men, and we're sort of going, Yeah, it sort of it was coming. It was just the dramatics of when it happened that sort of was a little annoying, but at least they played their hearts out.
They did.
Yeah.
They did, Giannis. And I don't want that to get lost in all this because right after the match, I tweeted out, I'm proud of Fulham. They took who I think is the best club in the world all the way to the brink. And then we have this situation that's how they won. And they celebrated like they beat Fulham in the championship. I'm talking about the Champions League final, not the championship final, the Champions League final. You know, I mean that, what does that, Max, what does that tell you that they were celebrating to such a point that they beat Fulham and they beat Fulham this way. And I've watched videos from Man City supporters and they're treating this like such a victory. And I'm thinking, but you beat us.
Haaland took off his shirt, you know, like he won the World Cup.
Yes. And it's funny. I saw an interview with him. He was nervous. He was nervous taking the penalty. Like they put
penalty. It was poor. You know, Leno should have saved it. In all honesty, it wasn't good.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so let me ask you. I've got Giannis's thoughts. When did it happen? How did you react?
Well, when the penalty was given, they showed the replay, which everyone's seen it, and I was almost certain they were going to overturn it.
Okay.
Like, there's no way. There's no contact. I'm just waiting for VAR to come in, and it didn't. And then I was just kind of resigned to the fact that it was probably going to go in. And it was just gutting. And it was that, I think that moment hurt just as much as any moment this season.
Okay.
Fulham this season, we've had it. Let's just be clear. The first 14 matches have been exceptional.
Yes.
Have been some of the best times supporting Fulham in recent memory. We've gone toe-to-toe with the best teams in the world and very often come out with a very credible result. This was a real heartbreak. This is a real heartbreak. I can't think of a moment this season when we were so gutted.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Dealing with this and dealing with how Fulham have started, I'm going to say this, and this might shock people. I think the Leeds United victory looks even better now. Look at what's going on with Leeds United right now. So maybe what Fulham have accomplished so far is even greater than we're giving it credit for because they are going toe-to-toe with all these teams and they go to Elland Road and they beat Leeds United and they've won matches that people aren't expecting them to win. I think we should be proud of this team. This is a disappointment, Max, but it also shows at the same time how far Fulham have come that you have Man City celebrating like they had won the Champions League final against Fulham. Think about that.
Yeah. I think we'll learn a lot from next week, too, against United at home.
Yes.
We're playing a big team at home. Let's see what kind of atmosphere, what kind of fortress we can develop. We had the Liverpool match, and hasn't really been one since.
Right. No, I hear you. It should be interesting. Guys, let's end with talking about man of the match. Max, I'll go to you first. Who's your man of the match?
Ooh, that's actually really tough. Kevin De Bruyne. I don't know. I might just have to say Harry Wilson because he created this. Without Harry Wilson, there's no red card. There's no penalty.
Okay.
And he had the other big moment. So that's a Harry Wilson.
He did. Harry Wilson. Interesting. Giannis, man of the match.
Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Okay, now we're really. Why don't you say Floyd Aiete?
Who's he? you know what? I thought Pereira played very well. Okay. By the way, we don't have Harrison Reed next week. Don't forget, because he got his fifth yellow.
Yes.
I'm going to give it to Issa Diop. I thought he looked so calm on the ball. He looked assured. With Tosin, you always think he's got a mistake in him. And Diop seems to improve with game time. And I think that Marco has him as the number one.
Okay, so if he's the number one, going to always now be Tim Ream? Or does this give an opportunity for Tosin to partner? No?
He's not droppable. You can't drop Tim Ream.
Okay.
Because but one thing,
Max, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, at this moment, he's captain. He's captain. Unless he makes a massive string of errors, he's one of the first names in the team sheet.
I think the only thing that scared me, and maybe it's Man City, and we can throw that away because it's Man City. Man City really targeted Tim Ream in this match. I thought he played well, but you could see the weakness, the age of Tim Ream definitely on the right-hand side. They were targeting the runs. They absolutely were. But how many teams can do that? Man City can do that.
Yeah, and that's the view. I mean, just watching the goal that was disallowed, the Holland's goal that was disallowed.
Yes.
We've got to give credit to this kid. I mean, he is an utter phenom. He is that good. I mean,
that's crazy. I agree.
Crazy good. I mean, they spent 60 million on him. To think that Liverpool spent 85. Sorry about this one, Chris. But spent 85 million on Darwin Nunez.
I know. Sorry, I mean, Chris.
Holland does. He does things, and you just have to shrug and go, you know, what do we do?
Yeah.
And Max was right that he didn't take the penalty well. Maybe Leonard could have got down for it.
Yeah.
But City are a fantastic side.
Oh,
and
they
we
are.
Went toe to toe with them. And this week, Marco's going to need to do a little bit, you know, picking them up and whatever. But the last game before the World Cup, if you can't get motivated for playing Man U at home, the boys will be frothing. BDR will be back. Tete will be there. I think now the only thing is going to be who do you bring in to replace Harrison Reed? That's going to be an interesting question. I think, do you bring Josh Onnemar in? Do you bring Tom Kearney in?
Kearney, come on! I think that's obvious. No. I don't see another Shalaba. Yeah, bring Shalaba.
Well,
back.
then the question would be who plays in the sixth role? Would it be Palhinha, but that's okay. That's fine. Yeah. No.
So this is from Combe. Maybe you guys can confirm this. No Reed, Tete, both on five yellows, and probably Mitrovic against Man United.
The first, you're right. Combe's right about Tete. I think he is on five. Mitro, I still think that the lure of playing United will be fine.
Okay.
But we've got BDR in there. And Wilson, and let's not forget, you know, we can slot. It won't be Chalobah because he's played his last game for the club. He's not going to play. He's not going to get a minute because Marco's got a memory. and good coaches do because once you're in that doghouse, Mitro found this out 2 seasons ago. Once you get in a doghouse of some coach, it doesn't matter what you do, you'll never get back in the good books.
Okay. Just so you know, here's a comment from our friend Chris Goo. When Darwin will come good, he is a work in progress. You don't spend that much money on a work in progress, Chris. I'm sorry.
Chris, I had the pleasure. I have to tell you this, and I'm betraying my age here, but I had the pleasure of watching Ian Rush. And Ian Rush, for me, is, I still think, the best striker Liverpool. You could say with Dalglish, but Ian Rush was just not dissimilar build. But Nunez is a very, very poor man's Ian Rush. And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh,
Ian Rush was an
unbelievable
player. And Nunez, he could come good, but they miss Mane, by the way. They should never have sold Mane.
They totally miss Mane. And I'll just say it, they should be playing Fabio Carvalho more, Chris. I'm just going to say that.
Mm-hmm,
Just my two cents. I've talked to a Liverpool supporter that says, no, Harvey Elliott is the player. It's like, no, it's going to end up being Fabio. Fabio's the better player eventually. And I think Liverpool find that out. And it's not a Liverpool show, Chris. We're not going to talk enough about Liverpool. Guys, I do want to wrap this up. Mr. Cohen, thank you so much for doing the show. I think you're going to have a very busy week, my friend. Final thoughts?
Yeah, great to have Fulham on the mind now ahead of a busy week. And it's great to see you guys, Russ and Giannis. Chris said, we're the three musketeers. I like that.
I do too.
I like that moniker. I'll take it.
I do too.
You got the beard. I think you're more D'Artagnan, personally. but because Russ and I are the clean. I had a shave last night.
I don't know.
The clean shaven.
I was thinking more of like the Three Stooges, and I'm probably curly, so that's what I was thinking. but thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Giannis, thank you very much for doing the show. Final thoughts before we go?
Great game yesterday. It's been is it weird? It feels a bit NFL-ish this year, the Premier League. You've got, of course, Arsenal and City, but there's a lot of parity.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, absolutely.
It's been really interesting, and actually, Villa beating United today, us playing toe to toe with teams is showing
great.
That you've got that there. And although the Arsenal playing very well right now,
I watched the match this morning.
Yeah,
my friend,
I did too.
They are legit. I've said this. I think Arsenal will have a shot to win the league. I think they're legit.
And I bet Real Madrid are kicking themselves because when they signed Martin Odegaard. He was 17.
What a great player.
Yeah, and then they thought this guy was going to be an absolute worldie, and they didn't have the patience for him, and he got thrown around on loan.
Great player.
And Arsenal finally got the best, getting the best out of him.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, guys, we do have to wrap up this show. As always, and as our friend Cole mentions, I didn't mention this at the beginning of the show because I wanted to really get going. Please do subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. And Cottage Talk is now part of the TalkSport Fan Network. After the World Cup, you should be hearing more about that from TalkSport, as I'm being told. So there's going to be a big push from them. So just want to mention that. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Cottage Talk. For Giannis Giannis, Max Cohen, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.